The failure of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the Century of Lies.
Hello, you are listening to Century of Lies. Century of Lies is a production of the Drug Truth Network for the Pacifica Foundation Radio Network on the web at drugtruth.net. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh, editor of drugwarfacts.org. And this week we are coming to you live from the Patients Out of Time 11th National Clinical Conference on Cannabis Therapeutics. Quite literally, I'm in the office. It's morning. On the last day, Mary Lynn, how's the conference been going? So, oh, by the way, I'm talking to Mary Lynn Mathry, registered nurse, certified addictions professional, and she is a co-founder and the president of Patients Out of Time. Have I got all that right?
Pretty close.
Oh, it's not bad. I'll try and remember your CV a little better next time. And this is a live recording, so why don't I go ahead and say, how's the conference going so far?
Conference, I think, is going absolutely terrific. People are learning. The speakers have been terrific. The audience, the attendees have just been, I think, in rapture in terms of, really going into the science of the endocannabinoid system. Today, we're going to really focus on the clinical applications, so it'll get really down into the patient care issues.
Fantastic. The legal seminar, which I sat through, I'll say, was terrific. Michael Stepanian was stellar. Brandon Wyatt is brilliant. Alan Zilber, well, Alan's Alan, and he's amazing. I mean, everybody who was there was great. Any highlights stick out in your mind so far from the first couple of days?
Yes. Danielle Piamelli, PhD doc from University of California, Irvine, absolutely. I think that was the best explanation of the endocannabinoid system we ever heard. It's such a complicated system, and he literally helped all from every level, from the patient level to the clinician level, to really understand how important this is, how it works, and how pervasive it is in the system. The other speaker, I think, in the afternoon, Dr. McCallum from California, just really enthralled people with her expertise of handling some really complex patients and how cannabis literally helped them get a quality of life again.
Right on. We've had a number of folks from Israel who've been presenting their research. Israel's quite advanced compared to the U.S. Talk to me a moment about that.
Well, you're right. I mean, Israel is the birthplace, but modern science in cannabis with Raphael Meshulam over there. Just down the floor below Raphael Meshulam's lab is Esther Shahami's lab, and she joined us at this conference. Her focus has been in traumatic brain injury, so it's really fascinating to find the work of how cannabis can heal an injured brain. Today we're going to get a clinician, Dr. Bereket Schiff-Karen from Israel speaking, and that she's a pain physician, so we'll be talking more again about how this has been so helpful for patients suffering from chronic pain.
And speaking of traumatic brain injury, of course, this is Saturday as we speak, and later today we have a panel with Sue Sisley. Dr. Sisley is performing some research on medical marijuana, but also Evan Britton and Nate Jackson, two NFL football, well, retired NFL football players. Little star quality to the lineup. Get a couple of sports stars up on the panel.
Yeah, you know, they're there, but they're ready to speak out for the whole NFL as well as an organization called Athletes for Care. Athletes all over, you know, suffer bangs, bruises, head injuries, sore muscles from extreme workouts. And they hurt, and cannabis has been something that eases their pain, helps them get through it. I think all the listeners out there have probably heard of CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, which is something that occurs after you get hit over and over again in the head, leading to severe brain damage, causing these early suicides, early deaths of a lot of the NFL players. So they're standing up for their brothers and trying to create an awareness of the NFL, the National Hockey League, you name it. They need to pay attention to their players and allow them the use of cannabis as medicine.
Well, and it's good that these folks at the top of the profession are saying this, because let's face it, college level and down to the high schools, we push kids to hurt themselves for our entertainment, and some of these kids come out of high school with some, you know, with career ending injuries. I mean, we talk about the healthy looking young man who goes into the dispensary. What we don't know is that healthy looking young man suffered some severe injuries and can't raise his arm over his shoulder because of some football stupidity. But well, anyway, any closing thoughts, because you're on your way to take care of stuff. As I mentioned, it's morning. It's the last day of the conference.
No, just a busy day. The other goal of this conference is networking, and we always tell the attendees here, just, you know, find out who's next to you, because we've got, you know, people who've been in the movement, in the issue, studying this cannabis all for many, many years. So between the attendees and the faculty, the amount of information about the endocannabinoid system is just astounding. So this information will be available down the road. We'll have it on video. We'll get it on our website again. With that being said, I would encourage everyone to think about joining Patients Out of Time. We really need the grassroots support to help us get going, to help us get this information out. I think everyone knows the roadblock to this is a lack of information. People are ignorant of the importance of cannabis to help keep our endocannabinoid system healthy. Our website is www.patientsoutoftime.org or medicalcannabis.com. Please check it out.
Mary Lynn Mathery, thank you so very much.
You're very welcome, Doug. Thank you.
And in the interest of full disclosure, I need to mention that I am the web content and social media manager part-time for the Patients Out of Time organization. These are also some very good friends, and even if they weren't, I'd be telling you this, it's one of the best organizations out there. Keeping it real, keeping it legit. This is Doug McVeigh with Century of Lies. Back in just a moment. And now I'm talking to the Chief Operating Officer and the coordinator of this year's conference. I only have a few seconds because I know that I'm standing in her way and she's about to run out the door. Laramie, any thoughts? How's the conference going? What do you think of the thing? You've been at these things since you were born. How do you think it's going?
Phenomenally. Over the 22 years of the organization, the culture couldn't have changed more. The science is just getting more and more detailed. And this year, I have never seen such engaged, interested, excited attendees. And they don't seem to be losing steam. Here we are in the third full day, and they're back for more. It's 7:30, a little before, and we've got people at the registration desk.
Excellent. And we'll be down there in just a moment. People can't believe, yes, I really am wandering around doing this. That was Laramie Silber. She's the Chief Operating Officer at Patients Out of Time and the coordinator of the 11th National Conference on Clinical Cannabis Therapy. Clinical Conference on Cannabis. You can look at the website and find out the name of the conference. Let's talk to Sam Sabzahar for a moment. Sam, introduce yourself. What are you up to these days?
I'm finally slowing down. I've been going along places for a long time, and finally don't have to go to too many places anymore. It's good to see California and a lot of the science behind the endocannabinoid system and botanical science kind of merging. And Patients Out of Time has been at the forefront of that for a long time, and it's really great to be here once again.
Terrific. Now, you're doing you're a documentary filmmaker. You do all kinds of stuff. These days, you're consulting in the medical cannabis industry. Is that right?
I am still doing that. A little bit now more than ever. I'm still working on a couple films. I just finished up The Caravan for Peace. I did with law enforcement against prohibition. They have changed their name as a group since then. Helping people get licenses around the country, helping them understand what best practices look like in a self-regulated industry that's now becoming more regulated. We've had to self-regulate from understanding how the quality of the plant and the quality of the patient and the quality of life. And as we see an industry emerge, we want to make sure that's not built on the back of a movement that we're stepping on, but bringing out of the shadows.
God bless you for doing that. It's like I say, people keeping it real. You're in the middle of getting ready to go down and do this stuff too. So any closing thoughts? Well, forward to the closing thoughts, where do people find out? What's your website? How do people keep up with you? Heck, I don't even know your Twitter handle yet.
You can go to medicalmarijuana411.com, and from there you can find us on all the social media. I used to do all of the social media and posts, and I've really taken a back seat to my role on Medical Marijuana 411, because I could be more involved on the documentary filmmaking and on some of the traveling that I'm doing outside of this space. And so today we're going to be seeing, you mentioned earlier, Eben with the NFL, and we're trying to bring in the NBA as well, working with some of the retired players, and, you know, merging what professional athletes, what pain management specialists, like we said yesterday and today, the science behind, you know, bridging that, the botanical science, the medical background of our own endocannabinoid system, and, you know, every single play, a professional athlete, they're banging their head around, whether they have a helmet on or not. If they're in the NFL, they're banging their head around. So, and if you go to Medical Marijuana 411, you'll see a lot of that information about how medical cannabis can be used as a cannabinoid therapeutic for various conditions. Off of that website, we do a lot more drug policy advocacy that we don't focus on Medical Marijuana 411.
Right on. And again, it's medicalmarijuana411.com, right?
.com.
Excellent. Sam Sabzahar, thank you so much. Oh, my friend.
Always good to see you.
Oh, it's good to see you, man. And he's from Iowa. I knew he was cool.
Yeah.
I knew he was cool. Back with more in just a minute. That's how we do it. I'm talking to Mara Felsen. She's one of the experts here at Patients Out of Time. Mara, you moderated a panel and spoke on a couple of panels at the legal seminar here. How'd that go? He said, as somebody who spoke at the thing. How do you think the legal seminar went?
Well, I'm always nervous until it happens, and actually until it's over. And I think it was a magnificent success. Every panel was top notch. I was so gratified to see Assemblyman Ken Cooley in the audience. His attention was rapt. He was very involved, and he is one of the assemblymen that was instrumental in getting the trio of historic medical marijuana regulations passed. And he was so interested in what we had to say, and it couldn't have made me any happier. And I was so proud to be on these panels with people like John Sajow and Doug Hyatt and Bill Panzer and Omar Figueroa and Lauren Mendelson. It was tremendously gratifying and educational for me as well. And I think everybody in the room felt the energy, and their attention was laser focused. So I really think it went. I think it was a smashing success.
Well, and just Assemblyman Cooley, California Assemblyman Cooley, wasn't an invited speaker. It wasn't that we brought him to this thing. He showed up to attend the legal seminar as he was just one more person in the crowd. I was surprised.
On his own dime.
A politician doing something on his own dime is a rare thing in the first place. That really was quite astounding. That really was astounding. What do you hope folks are going to take away from this conference?
What I would hope that they take away from the conference is how much we know and how much more we need to know. With respect to the laws, they are a constantly moving target. And at least in California, we have a unique opportunity to shape these laws and regulations right now. So I would greatly urge everyone who is listening to this right now to read the California regulations, especially read the initial statement of reasons, and see what the justifications are for these regulations that they have just drafted, and have an opinion and make your opinion known. You could do it in person. You could do it via email. It's very easy. And I truly hope that people will take an interest in the things that affect them, affect their health, affect the health of the people that they know. That's my takeaway that I hope people have from this conference.
That's terrific. That's important for people too. Just because the initiative passes, as we've learned in Oregon, then there's the rulemaking, then there's the legislature deciding to do something, and a few years later, there's something that looks a lot different than maybe the voters passed, and that's why people have to get involved. You're trying to get down to the conference because it's about to start. I still have to finish a radio show. So, do you have any closing thoughts?
You know, I'm basking in the positive feelings of this conference. I just my final thoughts are just excitement for the last day of the conference. I can't wait to get down there and listen to Dustin Sulak talk. He's one of my favorite doctors with a cannabis specialty, and everybody is top notch. I mean, yesterday when Dr. Daniele Piamelli was doing an overview of the endocannabinoid system, oh boy, overview of the endocannabinoid system, how interesting is that? Well, it was riveting. I mean, I've heard about the neurotransmitters and the synapses and the retrograde signaling before, but it's a different thing to hear it out of the mouth of Daniele Piamelli. And when he realized he was about to go over time, the whole room went, "Aww!" And then he's like, "Okay, I guess I'll speak for a few more minutes." And then the whole room went, "Yay!" I mean, not at a scientific conference, not at a legal conference, not at any conference have I ever heard people, an audience, so involved and so enraptured with what a speaker was saying. And, you know, and that's just one of all the top-notch speakers. This is my favorite conference every year, and I'm just so gratified to be involved in it. Thanks, Doug.
Mira, thank you. All right, folks, once again, you're listening to Century of Lies. We're a production of the Drug Truth Network for the Pacifica Foundation Radio Network on the web at drugtruth.net. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh, editor of drugwarfacts.org. And we are out of the studio this week and live on location at the DoubleTree by Hilton Berkeley Marina Hotel in Berkeley, California, site of Patients Out of Time's 11th National Clinical Conference on Cannabis Therapeutics. And I am standing outside my hotel in a couple of interviews, and now we're going to switch to last night. On Friday night, Fred Gardner and Bill Panzer, two luminaries in the medical cannabis movement in the world, really, but certainly here in California, paid tribute to a couple of good friends and the spirit of Prop 215, Dennis Perrone and the late Dr. Todd Mikuria. Dennis was an inspiration to me, met him in 1983, and it's one of the things that convinced me that I could go ahead and get into this business as a political activist and make a difference. Dr. Todd Mikuria I met in 1985 out in Portland, Oregon, and I gotta say, he was a brilliant, brilliant man, light years ahead of all of us, and just a fantastic human being and a really good friend. I miss him terribly. Well, Fred and Bill put together a tribute to the spirit of Prop 215 and to Todd and, of course, to our friend Dennis. And so we're going to hear a part of that. I apologize for the audio quality because field recording, well, it's a bear. But bear with me. And back in a minute.
Cardinal Constantine, Rabbi Alphonse Doe, Shalala Rai, Snow and Liquor. Mm-hmm. big hits. California Dodgers, your license is I wish. Big Janet and the Mets can all kiss, kiss, kiss. What were their names? Tell me what were their names? The Dodgers.
Folks, again, sorry for the quality audio, but field recording is what it is, and frankly, that's not going to happen again. So that was a tribute to the late Todd McAree, to the spirit of Prop 215, and to our good friend Dennis Perrone, who put all of that together and started it with Proposition P in San Francisco years before. Speaking to Amanda Ryman, Master of Social Work, PhD, professor, and a scientific researcher and an expert on all things cannabis and a good friend and an incredibly cool person as well. Amanda, how the heck you doing?
Oh, you know, Doug, I'm out here in the Berkeley Marina in this beautiful sunshine, so pretty damn good.
Excellent. Oh, yeah, just to remind people, this is a live recording at Patients Out of Time, the 11th National Clinical Conference on Cannabis Therapeutics. I got the name of the thing right. I'm very impressed with myself. I wasn't recording in the session. What all were you presenting? You do a lot of really good work these days.
Well, thank you. I was presenting on a study I recently completed of about 3,000 medical cannabis patients looking at cannabis as a substitute for both opiate-based and non-opiate-based pain medication.
Right on. And so what kind of, you've been looking at the question of cannabis and prescription drug use and the potential reduction in use for quite a long time, self-report data and on through. What are you finding and how have your findings been evolving?
Well, I think we now definitively know that this is a behavior that medical cannabis patients are participating in and that it's working for them. We have now a myriad of self-report studies covering thousands and thousands of patients across countries that show very high rates of conscious substitution for both alcohol and other prescription medications. What we really want to do now is find out, A, is this impacting certain people more than others? Are there folks that could really use this access who aren't able to get it? And secondly, can we design clinical outcome studies so that we can actually track patients over time in a controlled setting to give some of the more traditional researchers what they're looking for in terms of evidence?
Fantastic. Now, you mentioned that you might be seeing an impact on other prescription drugs. I know David Bradford, who's going to be presenting here later, has been finding that in his economic research as well. Things like the anti-anxiety medications, the sleeping medications, use of those, the prescriptions, at least for those, seem to be declining. I mean, is that kind of what you're finding?
Well, in this last study, we did find that even though pain was a significant predictor over whether someone had used an opiate in the last 6 months, once we looked at the population of opiate consumers in the sample, pain was no longer a significant predictor, which means we are seeing not only people use opiates for non-pain related conditions, but they're also engaging in substitution and complementarity. So I think it's important that we focus not just on those who are being treated for chronic pain, but for those that are taking other prescription medications that may cause unwanted side effects.
And speak for a moment to me about the impact you're seeing on overdose rates, which, again, there's study after study. So what have you been finding?
When we look at the large population-based studies that have been released, such as the one that was in the Journal of the American Medical Association back in 2014 that saw a 25% reduction in opiate-related mortality in states that had passed medical cannabis laws, there was a recent study that came out of RAND that saw reductions in both substance use admissions and opiate overdose admissions into hospitals in states that have medical cannabis programs. So again, we're seeing a lot of patient self-report that this is working. We're seeing population-based data that shows when we look over the entire population, we're seeing an effect. What we really need is what's in between, which is the controlled clinical outcome studies looking at both cannabis as a substitute for opiates, but also cannabis as an exit drug for people that are trying to reduce or eliminate their use of opiates.
Fantastic. And any closing thoughts? And how do people keep up with some of the work that you're doing? I mean, I know you're out there somewhere and you're publishing. Where did the you don't have a blog yet, do you?
I don't have a blog. Yeah. Follow me on Twitter at Amanda Ryman. Right now I'm not super out in the public all the time unless I'm at events like this.
And it's at AmandaReiman at Amanda Ryman. So, closing thoughts.
Well, this is a perfect place to have this conference because, you know, Berkeley and the Bay Area was really kind of the breeding ground for the modern day medical cannabis movement, starting in San Francisco with HIV patients who were experiencing marginalization. So bringing it back here to talk about the next steps seems really apropos.
Excellent. And we can hear the sound of morning in the background. Amanda, thank you so much.
Anytime.
That was at the Patients Out of Time 11th National Clinical Conference on Cannabis Therapeutics in Berkeley, California, where I am right now. Again, sorry for the background noise, but I am sitting outside a hotel room preparing this radio show. And because, you know, we go to all kinds of limits to come out to your earphones and to your speakers and bring you all this news and information. 30 minutes a week, every week, courtesy of the Drug Truth Network. We have a podcast. You can find the URLs there at the drugtruth.net website. Drug Truth Network is on Facebook. Please give it a like. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Doug McVeigh, and of course also at Drug Policy Facts. We'll be back in a week with 30 minutes of news and information on the drug war and the century of lies. For now, for the Drug Truth Network, this is Doug McVeigh saying so long. So long! For the Drug Truth Network, this is Doug McVeigh asking you to examine our policy of drug prohibition, the century of lies. Drug Truth Network programs archived at the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy.